Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Cipriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Cipriano, and my guest today is Fred Hirsch. Fred Hirsch is Vice President of the Plumber and Fitters, Local 393, which is in the South Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. And he's very kindly come a ways today for me to interview him about Columbia and Coca-Cola and what's going on in California and a lot of different things. And Fred Hirsch is a longtime peace and justice activist, another elder. We're both elders here with lots of experience. And this is what you're focusing on right now, Fred. I guess you've been involved in many things. What has led you to be focusing on this issue of Colombia? Colombia is far away.
Well, a couple of years ago, the issue simply came up in our local union meeting. After the United Steelworkers of America had a delegation that went to Colombia and came back and reported on paramilitary death squads killing trade unionists. It became so interesting to our membership in regular union meetings that we decided, when an opportunity arose to join a labor delegation to Colombia, to send two delegates. And it was myself and Mary Gaddis, the pioneer woman in our formerly all-male union. And we went for 2 weeks on a labor delegation sponsored by Global Exchange and Witness for Peace, an unusual delegation. We met with leaders in 25 or 26 different organizations, ministries, unions, etc., in Bogota and in Barranca Bermeja, which is an oil port on the Magdalena River, and where the main industry is oil refining, and it's the most militarized city in Colombia, perhaps, with four military installations, and it is under the total political control of the paramilitaries. And the paramilitaries exist through their wonderfully warm relations with the military establishment in Colombia, which leads us very much to the conclusion that of the approximately $2 billion that has been poured into Colombia in the last few years, making it the third largest recipient of U.S. aid, first Israel, second Egypt, third Colombia, that military aid coming out of U.S. tax pockets feeds the military, which feeds the paramilitaries, which are killing trade unionists wherever they are effective and mobilizing the people to action, political action and simple trade union action to deal with companies and to deal with political issues of a general nature. Mm-hmm. Last year there were 170 trade unionists killed in Colombia.
Wow. I want people to understand that too. Here we're talking about aid, you know, so don't get confused when you hear about aid to other countries. This is military aid that our tax money is being used for, which means basically killing people.
And the reason that the trade unionists assume that they have become the target of this violent, violent reaction, and there have been 3,500 trade unionists killed since 1985.
Wow,
That is a lot of trade unions, so very, very dangerous to be a trade unionist.
On a world scale, 3 out of every 5 trade unionists who are killed in Colombia. And it is not would could not possibly happen without the paramilitary death squads, which exist partially on drug money, partially on the money of large corporations, but most directly through their relationship with the military, which receives our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. We are paying for the assassinations of our brothers and sisters in Colombia.
I just want to put in a word about journalists. I know that's not the subject of this this interview, but there are also huge numbers. It's very dangerous to be a journalist in Colombia also, in terms of such a huge number of journalists get killed also.
And I believe the ratio on a world scale is very close to the same with journalists. Actually, I don't know the exact figures, but normally, that's a terrible word to use, there are some 4,000 activists in the trade union movement, the human rights movement, the peasant movements. 4,000 people can be expected to be killed through the paramilitary death squads each year. And that's what brought the attention of our local union to the issue. We were able to go to Colombia and take with us a certain amount of economic help. We were cautioned not to give anything, not to offer anything. We were not there to offer aid, but we met with the mine workers. We met with the CUT, the Central Única de Trabajadores, the largest union federation in Colombia. We met with the oil workers. USO is their name, the United Union of Workers is what USO stands for. And we met with the members and leaders of SINAL TRINAL. That's the Sindicato Nacional de Trabajadores de la Industria Alimentaria, the National Union of Food Workers, and they are the workers who have organization within Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is perhaps the primary pioneer transnational exploiter in world trade, going back to early in the last century. Mm-hmm. And in Colombia, Coca-Cola has been accused, and a great deal of evidence is available to show that they have been working in collusion with the death squads. Mm-hmm. And they've used the death squads. In this country, we talk about discouraging trade unionism, discouraging organization. They've used the death squads to kill the unions by direct assassination of leaders, some of them during the process of negotiations. There has been a lawsuit brought under the Alien Tort Claims Act by the International Labor Rights Fund and the United Steelworkers of America. And Dan Kovalik is the primary attorney on this case, and it's been paying an enormous amount of attention to it, and it's a really wonderful new development that a union like the, as powerful as the USWA, the steelworkers, would devote so much attention and energy and resources to express active solidarity with a union that has been oppressed so drastically in Colombia, a union like the SINAL TRINAL. And this action has been brought in the courts of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that some people understand the importance of the connection, the connectedness of everything, and particularly the rights of workers.
That it's a relatively new development. In the past, the American trade union movement has been somewhat estranged from any genuine solidarity. In that, in years past, there's been a direct connection between the AFL-CIO and the State Department and other agencies of the U.S. government, making everything they did at that time suspect. And in that time, they were not really focusing on the rights of workers, but rather on making the world safe for the transnationals, the transnational corporations. But now, with this action by the steel workers, we've come to a new era. The case has been, there has been some court action. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the ins and outs of it. Part of the case against the corporation in the United States, has been put aside, but without any evidentiary hearing, so that it is entirely likely that on appeal, that will be brought right back into play. And what is left in the case, even if that is not brought back into play, is the action against the corporation's affiliate in Colombia and the individuals who are in leadership of the corporation. And there is evidence to show that corporate representatives called in the paramilitaries. The one case that I'm most familiar with occurred in Carepa, Colombia. And in that case, Isidro Segundo Gil was the president of the union of Sinaltrinal, and he was negotiating, they were negotiating a contract with he was in leadership of that negotiation. He came to work to the company one morning and was confronted with the paramilitaries, who told him to get out of town, and was then simply gunned down and killed. A prime witness to what occurred was Luis Alfonso Carmona, who I met with and talked with about this whole issue, and he's no longer in Colombia. He has had to go into exile, but he saw what happened, and they captured him. They put him in a car, and when they were transferring him to another vehicle, he was able to get away and race through back alleys and get the attention of the police, who responded and gave him protection sufficiently so that he could escape his own assassination. And for several years, he has just been on the run, working in a clandestine manner, and moving around with his family. When I met him in January of 2002, he was a very agitated person, having just been discovered in Bogota. His family had been discovered, and they were under surveillance. And he had to bring his family and himself temporarily in the Sinaltrinal headquarters until he could get to another place. He then eventually went into a program, which is directed by the AFL-CIO, of offering a stay in the United States of 6 months or a year. It varies, I'm sure, where people who are under death threat can have some relaxation from that problem and work here in the U.S. For various unions.
It's always so ironic how that people take refuge in the United States, which is the same part of the force that's after them in the first place. It's just one of those ironies of life, I think.
It's an irony of life, and the people in Colombia, and I know people in other countries, I've had some familiarity with Chile and El Salvador, wonder about how we are able to do what we do here in what they term the belly of the beast. And so far, the belly of the beast has not regurgitated us, so, but we've got to keep on working at it.
Right. And I guess the point is also that the United States is a big country with many different kinds of people with different sentiments. And you have here Fred Hirsch, and I'd like to remind people that who my guest is, Fred Hirsch, who is vice president, a union leader in the Plumber and Fitters Local 393 in San Jose, California, very clearly an activist here for peace and justice. I'm looking right here at a letter that and all these Coca-Cola board members, and I'm sure you want to talk about that, Fred.
I surely do, but I just want to finish one point about this occurrence in Carepa. After the murder of Isidro Segundo Gil, the paramilitaries moved into the offices of the corporation, where they were welcomed. They were supplied papers for each member of the union to sign, and each member of the union was brought into a room where they're in the company and told to sign the paper renouncing the union or leave town or die.
Wow.
The paramilitaries were then given the headquarters of the union. Well, first, the headquarters of the union were burned. Then they were given, it was given to the paramilitaries, who rebuilt it and had big parties with a lot of free Coca-Cola.
I see what you mean about complicity.
That's just just a piece of it, and there's ample evidence of that from many witnesses. Now, as far as that complicity, the members of the board of Coca-Cola have been petitioned by thousands of people signing a petition saying that they're shocked at the indifference of the company to the safety of workers who bottle their products in Colombia, calling upon the board of directors to terminate this kind of collusion, take action to save the lives of the workers in Colombia, the trade unionists in Colombia. And there's been no response from the company. The company simply says, well, these are mere allegations. We are not concerned with it. And here in California, we have a recall election coming up on October 7th. Two of the candidates for governor are Peter Ubarov, who is on the board of directors of Coca-Cola, and who years ago could have taken action to terminate assassinations in Colombia. A major stockholder in Coca-Cola is another fellow by the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is, although not on the board of directors, has recruited as his economic and financial advisor Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is on the board of directors of Coca-Cola and the largest single stockholder in the company. And between these three men, the human rights record of Coca-Cola would not have been or be continually replayed so that it's now an old record. These men could change things. So, with that, the corporate campaign incorporated in based in New York has produced a leaflet which on one side is headlined Colombian Coke Float. It shows a Coke glass from the top down, and floating in the top of the drink are three bullet-ridden bodies face down. The bottom of the front says, unthinkable, undrinkable. The other side is a petition. Now, the new leaflet says, Ubarov and an Arnie, the killer Coke ticket. And it outlines a good deal of what I've just detailed, and also shows that Coca-Cola has a terrible record, not only in Colombia, but in various other countries, including the payment of $192.5 million to settle in the year 2000, a class action lawsuit brought by African American employees who had been discriminated against. They also had to cough up $8.1 million in back pay under a May 2002 agreement with the U.S. Department of Labor based on that case. And they've had to pay $21.1 million to another transnational corporation, Burger King, for rigging a marketing test to produce false sales data. So their record of failure, ethical failure, doesn't only produce murder. It produces all kinds of more palatable crimes against the U.S. population and population of other countries. In this recall campaign, Arnie Schwarzenegger is among the front runners. Uberoff is not far behind the front runners. And as this leaflet is distributed throughout the state of California, we hope to inform people about what is happening in Colombia, what Coca-Cola's responsibility is, and how these people on the board of directors are well-dressed, civilized monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I got to say, Coca-Cola is also not good for you, and it's all over the world. It's always seemed to me like it's like a symbol of imperialism, I guess, and dominance. We could probably have a lot of radio shows about Coca-Cola and the damage that it does, and I'm glad that we're informing people right now about Colombia and the connection with the California election here. Yeah, I'm interested that you haven't done a boycott. Actually, it's always kind of a dream of mine to do a boycott against Coca-Cola.
Well, the Sinal Trinal has called for a boycott internationally. When I was in Colombia early this year, late last year, it was in December 5th, there were hearings, public hearings in Bogota. And it resulted in calling a worldwide boycott of Coca-Cola that began July 22nd of this year. I'm an activist, as was mentioned, in the trade union movement through my own union, Plumbers and Fitters, Local 393, which is boycotting Coca-Cola, and the South Bay Labor Council, which had been boycotting Coca-Cola. But we produced a resolution calling for the boycott. It ran into difficulties. The difficulty is that the Teamsters Union has 15,000 members working for Coca-Cola, and until those members can learn about just what the Coca-Cola connection is to assassinations, they are not in a position to be able to support a boycott against their own work. So we came up with a resolution negotiated between the South Bay Labor Council and the Teamsters Union, which calls for support of the campaign against Killer Coke. There's a website, www.killercoke.org. You could contact that website and get all the information necessary in order to learn everything there is to know about this and begin to take action in your organization, in your union, in your community, or schools. Schools have quite a few Coke machines, and there are ways to identify the company's tactics by putting stickers on those machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all over the place. Coca-Cola that's part of Pepsi or Pepsi that's part of Coca-Cola?
No, they're two different companies.
Oh, they are, because I know they merge.
No, Coca-Cola has over 240 different brands, and it's impossible to deal with all of them at once. But contacting Coca-Cola, demanding that they are responsible and terminate this collusion, and acting in your own community organization, union, to stop purchasing Coca-Cola, that's a way to go.
Yeah, that sounds great. How is the campaign going so far?
It is getting widespread attention, and I'm sure there's an economic impact on Coca-Cola. There was an attack on a trade union, a Sinaltrinal trade unionist, just a few days ago. If you would contact the email for Sinaltrinal, that's Sinaltrinal, Sinaltrinal@sinaltrinal.org. You can get an update and on the information about an attempt to gun down the vice president of Sinaltrinal in Barranca Bermeja and to whom they need protest letters sent. Contact Sinaltrinal@sinaltrinal.org for that information.
Okay. And you probably have a link at this killercoke.org. You probably have that information there too, if people didn't get all that. Killer Coke is pretty easy to remember. Mm-hmm. Killer Coke, and Coke is C-O-K-E, .org is where you can go to get the... Stop Killer Coke, excuse me. No, this is the webpage. That's the...
This is the webpage.
The webpage is www.killercoke.org, okay. And the email is stopkillercoke@aol.com. So thank you so very much, Fred Hirsch, for this interview. Really important information for people to know and a movement well worth supporting. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening. To order a copy of the program you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Or the telephone is 510-883-1979. That's 510-883-1979.